Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, each and everybody who are joining in with us this evening. We praise God, we bless God, and we thank God for each and every one of you. And we would like to welcome you to this special edition of Study for Life. I am Pastor Toy Daly, your host for the next hour. And I count it an honor and a blessing that I am able to be here with you. We would like to give a special thank you to Peripheral Vision for, in the midst of what's going on, to feeling as though a word needed to come from the Lord to his people this evening. And as I said, I'm just excited about what God is going to do. Now, I want to let you know, if you're listening into us via live stream and you decide that you would like to join in on our conversation live on the air, feel free to call in to into 319-527-6091, or you can call 323-870-4174 and hit 1 to join in on the live conversation. Do me a favor, before we get started, please send a text out and let everyone know that we are broadcasting live right now on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. We want everyone who is able to get this word tonight to be able to get this word, and if they can't get it this evening, they can go right to that same website, www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom, and they can listen in on the archives. And the reason this is so deep in my spirit is because in the midst of everything that I am watching going on all around us, and I don't mean just right here where we broadcast from in Philadelphia, but I mean I'm watching what is going on worldwide. I'm watching a spirit of fear and anxiety begin to take control. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about the common sense precautions and the steps that are being put in place to try to limit what's going on in the spread of this new COVID-19 disease. I'm talking about the panic, the fear, and the anxiety that I am watching take place in people, in society as a whole, worldwide. And as I'm doing it, I don't know, maybe somebody out there can listen. Please explain to me what toilet paper has to do with whatever is going on with this disease. Not food, not water. It's something about toilet paper, because folks are in stores fighting over toilet paper. I'm not even talking about, like I said, what the governments are doing worldwide, trying to get this under control and trying to keep people safe and trying to keep people from contacting it. I'm talking again about what I'm seeing in everyday people, whether it be in social media, walking in my community, listening to people on radio shows or on podcasts. And I'm talking about believers and non-believers alike. And God has dropped it in my spirit that today, while everything is shut down and being shut down, that I need to stop by on my way to glory this evening and let everyone know that God did not give us a spirit of fear. God did not give us a spirit of anxiety, which, if you don't know, anxiety is a symptom of fear. but he gave us a spirit of power and adoption in which we can call out Abba, Father. So tonight he wanted me to let you know that he's in the middle of everything that we see going on. And that's why we don't have to fear. Because no matter what we see going on, he is in the middle of it. So we, this evening, we're going to be going to the book of Isaiah. We're going to be going to the book of Isaiah to the 43rd chapter. And we're going to begin reading at the second verse, and we're going to read from the second to the 19th verse. So we'll be in Isaiah 43, the second chapter, and we'll be in it. Isaiah 43 is the chapter, and we'll be in it from the second to the 19th verse. So now what we're going to do is I'm going to have a word of prayer before we go any further. Then we are going to have Sister Adrian. She's going to come on and minister to us through song. We're going to read the scripture that we're going to be dealing with this evening, Isaiah 43, and then we're going to be diving right into God's word. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Father God, it is once more and again that we, your handmaid servant, have come gathered together humbly yet boldly before the throne of glory. We come this evening first and foremost to say thank you. We thank you, Father God, for allowing us to get to this place and this day that your word can go forward. We come to say thank you, Father God, for allowing us to still be in our right minds and to have the activities of our limbs. We thank you, Father God, for grace and mercy that follows us. We thank you, Father God, for the provisions that you have provided for us. We thank you, Father God, for even in this, we still see your mighty hand at play. We still see your spirit in the midst. So we say thank you, Father. Father, we ask that you will go through these airways this evening in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We ask that you even now would release a spirit of healing right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I know that some people feel like we pray in advance, God, but I still believe that your word is true. I still believe where two or three are gathered together, touching and agreeing on your word, that there you are in the midst. I still believe that one can send a thousand demons to flight, and two can send tens of thousands of demons to flight. So I believe that this group touching and agreeing, whether it be via phone or live stream, that we can send the enemy a bay long enough that healing can take place this evening. I know that everyone is worried about COVID-19, but I know that you are greater than any disease, Father. I know that you said by your stripes we are healed, Father. I know that you said that you sent your son and he was wounded for our iniquities and bruised for our transgressions. Hallelujah, God. So we ask that you will release a spirit of healing even right now in the mighty name of Jesus, God. We ask that you will begin to release a spirit of peace and wisdom even in the midst of this storm, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I ask that you will release a spirit of remembrance to your people, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, that you will bring a calm in their minds right now, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. I ask, God, that you will toil the soil of our minds, that your word will fall on good ground and take root, God, that when we leave this place but not your presence, God, that we will begin to be walking epistles of your word, not walking by sight in what we see, but walking by faith, remembering that faith is the evidence of things hoped for. It, hallelujah, God. Remembering, God, that it is the, I'm sorry, that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen, that we don't walk by what it looks like, but we walk by what you have spoken in us and over us in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. We ask that you will keep the enemy at bay long enough this evening that some lost soul out there, God, may come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ this evening. Hallelujah, God. It is in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Then, Lord, as I stand surrendered to your will and to your way, God, I surrender to your might and your power this evening, Father, that you will have your way, Father, that you will allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart to be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. It is in the mighty name of Jesus, the delivering name of Jesus, the sanctifying name of Jesus that we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Sister Adrian.
How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great. Is our God. He's the name above all names, and he's worthy to be praised. And our hearts will say, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. How great. He's the name above all names. And he's worthy to be praised. Yeah, my heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Hallelujah. How great is our God. Even in the midst of everything that is going on around us, how great is our God. I ran across some things that I would like to share with you this evening. And one of the things that I would like to share with you, that even in the midst of all the craziness that is going on in the middle of it, and he's not just in the middle of it, meaning he's in the middle of it creating it. I mean, he's in the middle of it with us. And it's something, I don't know about you, but to me, I have to say, is something empowering when I realize, when I have to stand back and step back and realize that no matter how crazy the situations are that's going on around me, that God has never left me nor forsook me, and that he's right here in the middle of it with me. I'm sorry, I'm a little bit excited. And so I got to slow myself down. Okay, come on, Wusa. I'm a little bit excited because even in the midst of this so-called pandemic, see, when y'all hear the word pandemic, it means that the epidemic, the disease has spread worldwide or is beginning to spread worldwide. In this case, has spread worldwide, but to me that word means something different. To me, pandemic means that a panic has been created because of an epidemic, and the Lord just sent me, like I said, to remind you that he did not give us a spirit of fear. Now, does that mean that we are not supposed to be taking the precautions that they tell us to do with washing our hands and staying a certain distance away and staying in your home and isolating yourself if you have the symptoms and all of the other things that they have been listing? No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that in the midst of the craziness that we see going on, we are supposed to remember, especially us who are believers, that there is still a God sitting on the throne, that the Alpha and the Omega, the beginner and the end, the author and the finisher of our faith, the great creator, you remember, the I am that I am, the one who has wings like an eagle, that he is still alive and present, and that he is in the midst of it all. Now, I want you to join with me. I said we were going to be in the book of Isaiah, so I want you to join with me in Isaiah 43. We're going to be in Isaiah 43, 2 through 19, and I know some of y'all may have joined in looking for a study for like a toy talk this evening, but this evening isn't a toy talk. This evening is a study for life, because we have gotten to a place where we need to remember who we are, and more important than who we are, but whose we are. So Isaiah 43, beginning at the second verse, and it says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together, and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God." Yes, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. For your sake I have sent to Babylon and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans whose cry is in the ship. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, in the path in mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now, blessed is the word of the Lord, and we know that God's word is already blessed, and that was Isaiah chapter 43, verses 2 through 19. Now, I'm going to try to stay with the study as it is, but as I said, my spirit is just a tad bit excited. And what I want you to understand is, as I said, tonight we are dealing with anxieties. So, and contrary to what a lot of people may believe, saved and unsaved, when you look at what is going on around us today, everyone is dealing with some sort of fear or anxiety about, if not what is going on directly with this outbreak, they're concerned with how they're going to survive with the shutdowns and not being able to get to work and all of the other things. And these things can make you anxious. They can cause anxieties. They can cause fears. And even though the Bible instructs us not to be anxious for anything, we do find that in times like these, it is sometimes considered impractical and unrealistic to not have these anxieties. Now, understand, this is not going to be the norm on how anxiety runs and how when you step out on faith and what to do when you're a faith-believing child of God and you experiencing anxieties. That's not what I'm here for tonight. Tonight I'm here just to remind you that even in the midst of your anxiety, you can shake it off. Even in the midst of your fear, you can shake it off. I'm not saying it's not real. I'm not saying that what you're feeling is not real. I'm saying it's real. And guess what? I want you to admit that it's real, because the quicker you admit that it's real, the quicker you can hand it over to God, and he can remind you of all the things that he had brought you through. Hallelujah, God. Somebody might be saying, well, you know what, I've never experienced any type of anxieties or any type of fear. So let me tell you about anxiety. Anxiety is often triggered by real and or imaginary fears and stresses in our lives. So, again, I understand with this COVID-19, I understand the anxiety, I understand the stress, I understand the fear. And one may experience anxiety in the form of apprehension, uneasiness, fretfulness, extreme concern over matters that are totally out of their control. Anxiety can affect you slightly, or it can turn around and affect your whole being. It affects how we feel, how we behave, and has a very real physical symptoms. Symptoms like excessive and ongoing worry and tension, unrealistic views of problems, restlessness or feeling on edge, irritability, muscle tensions, headaches, sweating, difficulty concentrating, difficulty breathing, nausea, and the list goes on and on and on. And ever since the outbreak, well, I'm not going to say the outbreak. I'm going to say ever since the general release of the information of the outbreak of this COVID-19, we have been faced with a situation that truthfully is totally out of our control. We've been encouraging one another, and we've been trying to be mindful that wash your hands every time you think about it. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face out in public, and wash your hands. Cough in your arms and wash your hands. If you feel the symptoms coming on you, isolate yourself and wash your hands and wash your hands and wash your hands, and I'm sorry, I'm going to say it one more time, and wash your hands, and I don't mean just dipping under some running water. I mean take some soap and water, go all the way back to preschool, singing the ABCs as you soaping your hands up and then rinsing all the soap off, going between your fingers, wash your hands. And in the midst of all of that, we have been going through all of these different anxieties, and as I've been watching people feel like they have been caught between a rock and a hard place, as I've been watching a bureaucratic garbage get spilled out from some leadership while other leaders are actually trying to figure it out, while I'm watching panic and pandemonium take place in the minds of the people, God has stopped by here this evening to let you know that it's okay, because he's in the middle of it. He's in the middle of it, and he's in the middle of it not because he's causing it, but he's in the middle of it because in the middle of it, he is showing somebody something in and through it. Now, I know somebody don't like the fact that God uses what we go through to teach us, but unfortunately, as a group of people, as a creation, that's how we are. We are sort of from the show-me state. If we weren't from the show-me state, some of the fights and battles that we have, nations amongst nations and communities against communities and this belief against that belief, we would not be having if we were not from the show-me state. Some of us won't go to God until all hell is breaking loose. Some of us won't call on the name of Jesus until there's nobody else that we can call. But in the midst of it all, when you look at this scripture right here, and in the book of Isaiah, we find that these Israelite children, whom in the scripture he had claimed not just to love, not just to have been his chosen, but he said, y'all are a nation that I created. And when I thought about that, I had to go, wow, he really did create that nation. Because remember, Israel was originally named Jacob, one child, and Jacob had 12 sons and one daughter, and God changed Jacob's name to Israel, and that's how we got the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 children of Israel. I know I said one daughter, but they didn't count daughters back then. She couldn't have been a tribe. She'd have had to marry into one. But the 12 tribes of Israel, and he was saying that, you know, I created this nation. I love this nation. And in the midst of all of that, we find him saying to them how he is with them. Now, in the book of Isaiah, of course, it is the prophet Isaiah giving a message to the children of Israel, and we notice problems that they have encountered in their life, that they had to pass through some things, cross over some things. The Hebrew word for pass is abar, which means to cross over or move over, go through or away from. It actually means to go through a particular location and or situation in order to get to a destined point. So it also means to go as far as. Some of us have gone as far as we can go in the location that we are in right now, and God is trying to get us to move to a new location in order to get us to the destiny that he has planned out for us, but we are so comfortable where we are that we would continue to go through the situations we're going through because we refuse to go over, to pass over, to cross over into that which He has for us. Many of us look at the symptoms and never see the destiny. Thus, anxiety is birthed in us. That's what happened with the Israelite children. The Israelite children, every time they ran into a problem when they came out of Egypt, remember, this is Isaiah, and he's talking to the Israelite children. So I want to give you some history so you can understand why Isaiah in the 43rd chapter begins to remind them in the second verse, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Why he begins to remind them of that is because the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, they ran into the Red Sea, and God got them across the Red Sea. And after they went across the Red Sea, they came to another river that they had to cross, which was the Jordan River. And then at another point in time, they had to stand when they were captives in Babylon against a fiery furnace. And God is trying to let them know that, you know, in the midst of all of that, He was with them. But every time the Israelites would face some type of adversity or some type of craziness, they would begin freak out, and they will begin to freak out in such a manner that it will begin to cause a pandemic amongst the people, not just physically, but spiritually. Sounds sort of like what's going on with us today. There's a pandemic that has begun to take place, not just spiritually, but also physically, and we forget that God has brought us through some similar things in the past. I know I'm going to miss some of them, but I remember a few years back, it was the Ebola virus. Then a few years back, it was the swine flu, and then it was the bird flu, and then it was mad cow disease, and it was the thing with the mosquitoes, and then it was every year, it was something major that was going to kill us and take us out, yet God is still true to His people. Now, again, does that mean that I am limiting or saying that it's not that serious? That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that God is greater, and in all your precautions, I want you to take the number one precaution up in you, and that precaution would be Jesus Christ, that God is greater. In Isaiah 43:2, He said that He would be with us as we cross through the waters, amen. And when I talked about the Israelites, remember, they had that Red Sea experience, and they had to come through the waters. They had to come through the rivers. When they were in Babylon, held in slavery in Babylon, they had to go through a fiery furnace experience. But in the midst of all of it, God has said to them, I am right there with you. Hallelujah, God. Why do I keep harping on that? Because I need somebody to hear this evening that God is right here with us, that even in the midst of it, that God is right here with us. Hallelujah, God. He said, when thou passest through the waters, the Red Sea, I'll be there. When thou passest through the Jordan, I'll be there. Now, to acquire a comprehensive understanding of the Israelite anxieties, you would have to cross-reference with verse 2 to Exodus 14, which is what I was just doing. When they left Israel, they ran into their first obstacle, but God delivered them. He delivered them. He caused them to go across on dry land, and then the same thing that He made get out of their way, He used to destroy their enemies. Somebody need to hear that right now. The same thing that he used to get out of his chosen's way, he used to destroy their enemy. Now, let me explain to you why that's important, because somebody just sit in their spirit, well, I'm not an Israelite. However, if you are a child of God through belief in Jesus Christ, that makes you a descendant and a seed of Abraham, which, and also a child of Jacob, Israel, through the bloodline of faith through Jesus Christ. We are now adopted in. We are now royalty, hallelujah, God, and it is because of that royalty that we can say that when we pass through the waters, he will be with us. As we pass through this waters, for some of us, this COVID-19 is a water. This COVID-19 is a water because you may actually have an actual disease. You may have come in contact with the disease. You may be worried about a family member with the disease. It's become a water, like a Red Sea experience, not a river, but a water. But God is saying that even in the midst of it, he is right there with us. You do not have to fear the situation because he's in the midst of situation. Hallelujah, God. That's a place to shout right there. In Psalms 23, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And why is he there with you? Because his rod and his staff, they not just protect you, but they comfort you. So understand that while he's in here with you, he's going to comfort and protect you. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody need to shout right there. The next thing I want you to know is that the next time the children of Israel came into a situation, they came and they had to go across the Jordan River. They had to get across this river. And once again, you find the children complaining. Understand, I can understand their complaint, because a lot of times when you look at the pictures of the Jordan River and you see this little thing sort of look like a creek, it don't look that big at all, and you just see the people walking across. But one day when I got a little bit older, I was sitting down on the Delaware River, and I was looking over at New Jersey, and I thought about that Jordan River and said, you know, we make the river sound like it's something really, really small, but a river could be really, really deep. And if the river is overflowing its banks, it can cause a whole lot of damage. Now, at the time that the children of Israel had to go across the Jordan River to get into their promised land, what I need you to understand is that the river was at overflow status for the season, which means it had flooded its banks, okay? So now, in the midst of its flooding its bank, the word of God told or instructed the people in the book of Joshua in Joshua, that when they stepped into the river, when the foot of the priest hit the river, the people were to stand still until they saw the priest walk past them. Why? Because the priest were carrying the Ark of the Covenant of God, and when the priest walked past them, then they could follow behind the steps of the priest. Now, that's symbolic, because what it's actually doing is they were being told that when God's presence passes by, then you should begin to follow the presence of God. That let me make that even a tad bit more symbolic. When they were in the wilderness, and see, I understand some of y'all don't understand what I'm talking about, because you would have to be a believer in Christ to hang with this, and I'm sorry for you this evening if you don't understand, but I want you to keep coming on the Purpose Kingdom Network, and at some point one of the ministries ministries is going to come back, and they're going to take you through the basic Bible school and Sunday school lessons, but we got to keep moving, because right now we got to come against that demon of fear and anxiety that is trying to hold folk up. So I ain't got time to explain it to you exactly how it works. I just got to show you that it does work. So what happened was, every time the priest walked past a group of people with the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders, the people were to get up and follow. And what that was symbolic of was the people were following behind God. In other words, they were following his footsteps. In other words, it takes me back to that scripture that says that the Lord orders our footsteps. It takes me back to that scripture where it says his word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path, that we have to follow behind what he's doing. But the other thing that I liked about it was it also gave proof to what happened to Moses back in Exodus when he was up on Mount Sinai, and he asked God if he could see him, and God told him, you cannot see me, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to hide you in the cleft of the rock, and when my presence passes by, you can see my hind part. You can see the back of me. In other words, you will see the proof that I was there, but you cannot see me per se. What I'm trying to get somebody to understand is right now you have been hidden in the cleft of the rock. You don't need to panic. You need to remember that God has made a way for us before, and God will make a way for us again. You have to remember that the same God who did it then is the same God who can do it now. Hallelujah, God. The same God that saved you from SARS in 2004, the same God that saved you from bird flu in 2008, the same God that saved you from the swine flu in 2010, the same God that saved you from MERS in 2012, he's the same God that saved you from Ebola in 2014. He's the same God that saved you from the Zika virus in 2016, and then again from the Ebola virus, a newer strand, in 2018, and from the coronavirus now in 2020. Why do I know that he can save you from the coronavirus? Because one of the things that I found out, you know me, I get newsy, I get to pick, and we made y'all name this the coronavirus. Well, it's called the coronavirus because corona means crown. And when you look at the disease under the microscope, it looks like it is wearing a little crown. But I'm here to tell you that I know a man, that a man above all men, who is wearing a greater crown. Hallelujah, God. I know a man that if you put your faith in him, along with doing the precautions they are warning you of, if you put your faith in him, he is greater than any disease. I know a man that has given sight to the blind. I know a man that has made the deaf hear. I know a man that has made the lame walk. I know a man that has spoken life to the dead, and they've gotten up and stood before me. I know a man that told a 99-year-old stroke patient to get up 1 hour after having a massive stroke and allowed her to see her 100th birthday. I know a God that is still sitting on the throne of glory, and if you would like to, you can get to know him too. Hallelujah, God. Because he is not a prospector of person. What he has done for me and for mine, he can do for you also. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. I'm sorry, I'm trying to stay with the notes, but I'm just feeling in my spirit that the people of God need to remember not just who they are, but whose they are. The people of God need to remember that there is power that lies in their tongue, not just little bits of power, but the actual power of life in death. Hallelujah, God. I need the people of God to remember that prayer can change things. I need the people of God to remember that Jesus told us in his word that anything we ask for in this realm, anything we ask for in his name, that he would grant it to us. I'm sorry, that the Father would grant it to us. Hallelujah, God. We sitting here worried, talking about, oh, I hope I ain't catch it when I was here, and I hope this person didn't do it, and I hope that person, or we sitting here, oh, I don't know how we going to pay our bills. All my money spent, got a little bit of side for rent. The baby need a pair of shoes, got a light bill due, and a gas bill too. Phone about to be disconnect, and I don't know if I'm going to get my next paycheck. Well, I'm telling you what you need to do. You need to trust in Jesus to work it out for you. Hallelujah, God. You need to believe God for God. You need to believe God on his word. This ain't the first struggle he has brought you through. This ain't the first epidemic, pandemic, whatever they want to call it this year, that he has brought into our lives. We need to use the precautions that they are giving us, but walk in the power and the authority that Christ has bestowed upon us. In the mighty name of Jesus, we need to start praying healing. We ain't got to get to church, into a building to pray. It's about thousands of us listening via internet and phone this evening. All we got to do is begin to pray. We can begin to pray healing. We begin to touch and agree. You don't have to do it on the phone line tonight. You and one of your girlfriends can call each other up and say, hey, girl, let's just begin to pray. I promise you that if you really begin to seek the Father in the name of Jesus, it'll be like Paul and Silas when they were locked in jail and that chained to the lowest level of the jail, and they begin to sing hymns and praises in the midst of what they were going through. I dare you to begin to sing praises unto God in the midst of what we are going through. And the word of God tells us that at about midnight, as they continue to sing praises unto God, that the very foundation of the jail begun to shake, and that every door cell opened, that every chain fell off. Hallelujah, God. If you want the chains and shackles of this situation to fall off, I dare the people of God to begin to pray. And I don't mean praying that old weak prayer. Oh, Father, we asking for this, but thy will be done. I mean praying the authority he gave you. We came in the name of Jesus to decree and declare in the name of Jesus. That spirit of fear has got to go in the mighty name of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus upon it right now, from the crown of everyone's head to the sole of their feet. That spirit that's manifesting as anxieties has got to go in the mighty name of Jesus. That demon that's manifesting itself as COVID-19, in the name of Jesus, it has got to begin to die. Not begin to die, must die. Right now, in the name of Jesus, it has no more power. It has no more authority. In the name of Jesus, and God's people will walk in wisdom, not fear, in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We will use precautions in the name of Jesus, but we will walk in the wisdom and the power of God in the mighty name of Jesus. We won't sit quietly anymore in the name of Jesus and wait for the government to decree and declare it. We're going to fall on our knees in the name of Jesus. We're going to touch and agree in the name of Jesus, and we are going to begin to decree and declare it for ourselves. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. No more power. No more power. No more power. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Believers will walk by faith. Hallelujah, God. We will remember that he is with us in the waters. He is with us in the storms. our God. He is even with us in the fiery furnace. Now, I got to everything but the fiery furnace. If you remember, the scripture talked about how he is with us in the fiery furnace or in the fires, and how when you're in the fires, he won't let the fires even singe your hair. Hallelujah, God. If you remember the story of the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace when they refused to bow down to the golden image that the king had set up, he ordered them thrown into the fiery furnace. They turned the fire up so hot that the people taking them to the furnace couldn't even survive the trip, but the boys somehow still made it into the midst of this fiery furnace, and it wasn't until they hit inside the fire that they realized that God was in the midst of the fire. Hallelujah. That the clothes they had on did not burn, their hair did not singe, their shackles fell off. Hallelujah, God. So much so that Nebuchadnezzar, who was not a believer, looked down in the fire and said, did we not throw in three? The people said, yes, king. He said, well, I see a fourth man that looketh like unto the Son of Man. Hallelujah, God. I'm here to tell you that even in the midst of what we're going through right now, that for somebody, hallelujah, this is how God is going to show up. And we pray this evening that he'll show up and show out in their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. I just thank you this evening. I bless your name, Father. There may be somebody out there that does not know Jesus for themselves, that does not know him in the pardoning of their sins, that may feel like, you know what, I know about him. My mama talked about him. My grandmama talked about him, but I done messed up too much. I'm here to tell you that he is here for you. The word of God says that God so loved the world includes everybody, that he gave his only begotten son. And this is the part I love, that whosoever believes in him. I love the whosoever clause, because the whosoever clause covers every economic situation. It covers every denomination. It covers every cultural background. It covers every race background. Guess what? It even covers every sexual choice, decision, desire. It covers every sin listed from A to Z. Whosoever believes in him has the ability to have a second chance. If they believe in him, they shall not perish, but can have everlasting life. Now, I know that makes some folk upset, because we feel like in our spirit, some folk did some stuff we don't feel like they should be forgiven. But guess what? You done did some stuff to somebody too, somewhere, and somebody somewhere sitting there feeling like you should have never been forgiven. But God loved you so much that he forgave you, and he can forgive them too. Even with the drugs in their hands, shooting them up in their arms, laying with somebody else's husband, laying with somebody else's wife, whoever you are, wherever you are. That's what he really meant in his word when he said, come just as you are. He wasn't talking about the way you come to worship in the sanctuary or building. He was talking about coming to him just as you are, so that he can begin to clean you up. Understand, if you could do it yourself, he didn't have to come. Now, somebody said, oh, she's condoning sin. No, I'm not. I'm just not going to lie so that the people in your buildings can feel comfortable. He said, come just as you are. When he spoke to the woman at the well, he didn't tell her, look, stop hoeing, then come see me. He spoke to her just as she was, right there at the well. When he talked to the Roman soldiers, he didn't say to them, listen, go create peace with everybody y'all fighting with, then come see me. He spoke to the Roman soldiers right where they were. He spoke to the fishermen right where they were. He didn't say, y'all stop fishing or y'all catch a bunch of fish. He said, oh, y'all ain't catch nothing? Now let me show you how to do this. Now come on, be with me. Just as they were, right where they were. And this is your opportunity to come. It's a simple prayer. It's not even about the, you know, proper way. It's just simply just saying, God, I'm a mess. And I accept the gift of your son into my life to clean me up, to fix me up, begin to make me new, to forgive me of my wrongdoings. I surrender to him this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. And guess what? If you said that prayer, you just tell somebody. God's word says if you believe in your heart and confess out your mouth, then you're saved. You don't have to wait until Sunday morning service, Sabbath service, Bible study. You don't have to. All of that, number one, is church membership. And the way stuff going ain't going to let us come together for a church gathering much longer. But you know what you can do? You can call somebody. You can dial into this number and say, hey, I just accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. You can call somebody on the phone. If there's nobody, you can call God outside the front door screaming at the top of your lungs, especially if you live in an urban city. I guarantee you somebody is going to hear you. But as soon as you make that confession out of your mouth, according to God's word, you are saved. And we welcome you to the kingdom of God. Now, we encourage you to find the Bible believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But if for some reason you cannot, bless God, that's why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here for you. Please join us tomorrow evening at 9 p.m. for the Women of the Table on Let's Talk About It, Sister Adrian, Sister Janice, and Sister Talene. We will be on the table at 9 p.m. talking about everything that needs to be talked about right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. You can follow us on Facebook as well as on Instagram and LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you, and to pray for you. Please know that we love you with the love of Christ. I am just so excited about the word. I hope that it touched somebody's spirit. I hope that it touched somebody's heart. I cannot wait to hear it myself because I'm really not sure what God just did. I just know he wouldn't let me go back to my notes. But I know and I thank him for the soul that came to him this evening. And I thank him for the souls that were encouraged this evening. And I thank him that the fear has ceased this evening, that the panic has ceased this evening. Yes, we will be precautious, but we will be powerfully endowed in our precautions, knowing that Jesus Christ will never leave us nor forsake us, that Jesus Christ never slumbers nor sleeps, that he has us in the palm of his hand, and that he will protect and keep and provide for us. Again, know that I love you with the love of Christ. Remember, no matter what's going on, he is in the midst of it with us. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.
Yeah.